Hey guys, it's Jory. We are back at another episode of Two Coach Girls.
Welcome to another episode, y'all. It's your girl, Abby.
Hey, party.
Another week in quarantine because apparently, I tested positive for the Rona, which makes no sense because I was literally in quarantine for a week. I don't know how this happened.
You really don't have any idea, or you're like, I was pretty like crazy.
Okay. Like my roommate's friends, you know, came in and out, but I wasn't really like chilling with them so much, but you know, I guess this strain is supposed to be really contagious. So I was really shocked when I got it. I was like, are you serious? Cause I had two birthdays that I was super, super hyped to go out to.
Yeah.
And then they ended up getting canceled anyway, cause everyone was like scared of Corona. But anyway, I get out tomorrow and I've been productive, you know.
Yeah.
I've been
working on the podcast, Abby.
Yeah.
Helping
I always work on the podcast whenever I get a chance. I've been learning how to invest, stalking my mom, my dad and my sister and asking them all the questions because I have no idea about investments.
That's amazing. So, yeah, oh my God, that's like really cool.
Yeah. Good so I was you. Like, okay, another week in quarantine, like it's an opportunity. So, you know, it's been a productive time and now I'm ready to go back into the world.
Do you feel like – have you, like, been leaving the house at all for, like, groceries?
No, we've just, like, just ordering it. I order food. I ordered a lot of food. And, like, there's an option of doing contactless delivery, so they just leave it at the door.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're going crazy or no?
A little bit. Like, I got back to Israel on the 2nd and it's now – we're, like – I'm getting out of my house on the 17th. Like that's kind of
that's crazy. Yeah.
So this is what it is. Everyone has the Rona. And you know, it's funny because on the last episode we were like, lol, we don't have it. And I was like, Jordan, let's not talk about this. We're going to jinx it.
Oh my God.
And then we jinxed it.
I know. Next episode. I have it. Shalom. But like, you never know.
But it's okay. I feel 100% now. I'm getting back out there. So what's going on with you since you've actually been out of your house?
I have. Yeah. Thank goodness. Did a Devar Torah again this weekend for Shabbos. Like just happens. I don't know why. Talks about Miriam and my grandma, relating both of them in the Parsha. Felt pretty good about it. I feel like I'm going to be like a speaker every single week now.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll see. Guys, come to MJE on 86.
And what are you, like a pro at giving Devar Torahs now?
I don't know. People are like really good at speaking. And like you do it so well and calm. I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm a professional speaker now. No. But that's definitely been fun. Despite Corona, I booked like two trips. Because work is being pushed off until March. It was supposed to happen like this week, but it's being pushed off till March. So like going into the office because of COVID.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So where was I? So I'm going to Vermont skiing for the first week of February. Yeah. Okay. First, let's talk. My weeks sound crazy. I'm a traveler. If I don't get COVID, I'm literally like a saint. Sorry. Like, it does make sense. So first week, I'm going to Vermont ski trip. Super excited. Boozy, food, all that stuff. Second week, I'm going to Austin, Texas. With Saul for fun because we can go wherever because we work remotely. So I'm like, why not? And after I watched the show 20 somethings in Austin, I was like, I need to go to Austin.
So that's why you booked it?
Well, it was like a place I've never been before, you know? And I was like, if I can, let me just go. Tickets are super cheap. And like, why not? You know? So we're doing that. And then third week, I'm at my friend's bridal shower in Boston.
Oh my God. So, you're all over the place.
Going to Boston. Yeah. I'm a USA traveler. I wouldn't say world traveler, but I would say USA traveler.
Are you good at skiing? I'm terrible at it.
No, I literally do like pizza all
me
the
time. Me
too. I literally do that. I like do that and I like still go down like black diamonds while doing the pizza. But I'm excited. It's gonna be fun. I'm like,
oh my God. But that's amazing that you're taking advantage of it.
I know. I'm just like, I feel like, when am I gonna get a chance to do this again? Never.
You're not. Like,
so I really need to just go all out.
COVID is like working from home for such a long time.
I know. And then, like, if I'm spending my own money, like, it's going to be spending money. It's going to be a lot of money. But then it's going to be, like, it was that experience. And never have it again. So it's, like, YOLO. YOLO. We haven't said that in a while.
It's been, like, 10 years.
I know. So that's my plan. It's going to be busy. It's going to be fun.
And they're all, like, different types of trips, too. You know, you have the ski trip. Then, I don't know, who are you going with? Your fam?
Ski trip? No, I'm going with MJE. Big rep.
Oh, yeah.
Jewish experience all the way. Yeah. So I'm going with that.
Very into MJE.
I'm very into
really
it.
You've been on this journey with us since you started.
I know. I love it. They literally have the best kiddish, and the people are so nice. Like, literally, the person I was speaking to about the trip, they're like, they highlighted, they were like, all you can drink, all you can eat kosher. I'm like, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would have signed up. Doesn't matter what the price is. It's all kosher. I'm coming.
I know, right?
It's so exciting.
I know. Can you ski in Israel?
Like, yeah, there's – I don't go ski. I feel like it's not the ideal place to go skiing. Yeah, no, we get snow, I think, on HaHermon. I think we get snow there.
Where's I've never that? Been.
Somewhere up north. I'm super embarrassed if that's incorrect information, because I should know where it is, but I just like go back and forth between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. I've never been to the Hermon, like, and I've lived a lot of my life here, so I'm like, oh my God, where is it? But yes, you can. That's because I've spent a lot of my life in Israel. Maybe that's why I don't know how to ski. Like, I've been once or twice, but it should be fun. And it's really about like getting a hot chocolate and chilling in the hot tub and
I'm
the
so
kosher
excited.
Cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I hope you have the best time. And we're gonna need to talk about. We're gonna need to do a
I'll
whole
keep
recap.
You posted. You know? I wish I was single, because I feel like, in that sense, I feel like it'd be just so fun. Like, I just. Maybe hook up with like random Jewish guys on the trip and like flirt with them. I have no good stories anymore. I'm so fucking boring. It's so annoying.
Well, stability is wholesome too.
Stability is wholesome. Like we talked about in our last episode, our was amazing. It was probably like one of my favorites, honestly. I really liked Ellie. I really liked what he had to say about being in a relationship and being single and like owning you. So if anyone hasn't listened to that episode, I highly, highly suggest you listen. We got a lot of good feedback from people and my parents.
Just, you know, people. Maybe it was my parents. I don't know.
Right?
But yeah, he's super, super down to earth, and I really internalized his advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
For 2022.
Wait, what's the first thing you're going to do after quarantine?
I am going out tomorrow night to my karaoke bar.
That is what I was about to say. I'm like, are you doing karaoke?
Yeah. Oh, you already called it. I want to check out. I've been going to a soccer league recently, and I heard that there's a volleyball league. And the funny thing is, I'm bad at sports, but you know, try new things. So I might be trying that out. And also, you know, just going on a bunch of Hinge dates as per usual. Living that. Dating app life.
Good.
Yeah, but that's been fun. It's been fun to talk to guys in quarantine. You know, just be like, yeah, I got the Rona, and it makes it feel very like forbidden love. Like, obviously, we're not going to see each other, but I'm like, I can't see you right now. We have to wait until we meet.
Oh my gosh. Are you doing any like video calls and video chats and such?
No, we didn't get that far. Okay. But I always send voice notes, because I have this thing, and my sister and my brother-in-law make fun of me, where I need like the guy to have like a sexy voice. If he doesn't have a hot voice, I can't do it. So I send them voice notes on Hinge. And so then they send me voice notes in response, and then I can see.
And then you can
like,
see. I love it.
It's gonna work between us, you know.
I see you.
Yeah.
Playing the field. Cool. Anything else before we talk about our next guest?
I am so ready to talk to our guest.
I know we have a really, really funny Jewish comedian on today. His name is Shui Fear. We're gonna speak with him very soon. So we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back with him. Woo. Hey guys, and we are back with Shuey Fear. He is a creative living in New York City. He wears many hats. He's a stand-up comedian, storyteller, filmmaker, songwriter, editor. The list can go on. He has done research in psychotherapy in New York prisons. Okay. And traveled to Africa to research the lost tribes of ancient Israel. Definitely want to hear about that. He loves Leonard Cohen and John Mayer. He wishes he had a dog. Okay. Amazing. Welcome, Shuey. We're so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. This is so exciting.
This is
so cool. It really sounds like you're a man of the arts. I consider myself a writer, but you kind of do everything. So it's kind of a big question, but what draws you to all this different stuff? What makes you wear so many hats?
I am a firm believer of doing, of it's like, oh, if something piques my interest, like read about it, see what's interesting about it, but then actually like try it. Cause I'm a firm believer that everyone can do a lot of things. And okay. We're not subject to just, simple jobs.
So out of all of your, as you said, comedian, storyteller, filmmaker, songwriter, editor, what is your favorite thing to do? What do you love the most?
Honestly, for the, like what comes first always is writing songs. That's the truth. That's like where how I got into the world of performing. Stand-up comedy came next, really as like a challenge to myself. Like I loved comedy all my life, and I saw it as the scariest thing in the world. So I told myself, okay, why is this scary? Figure that out. Try it out. See what happens. But yeah, I started off as a songwriter writing poetry in yeshiva.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into that for a sec. So tell us about your background. You're from Atlanta, and then you go to Israel, you become more of a creative, you come back because now you're in the U.S. and in Upper West Side. So tell us about your journey and your path.
Well, I mean, I actually went to high school in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And that, I feel like, was the place where my creative roots began to grow. I picked up guitar to impress a girl because she was an incredible guitarist and pianist. And, the relationship didn't continue, but it was the greatest thing to get out of a relationship was, the creative space, the creative mind. But ultimately I picked up guitar and started writing, and I brought that to Israel. It sort of became part of my identity, I feel like, in Israel and in my Judaism was this this space of music and of something spiritual. And I've been pulling at that string ever since, seeing how deeply it goes.
So you're the guy with the guitar, you would be the guy with the guitar on your back walking around.
Yeah, but I'm not the guitar guy, you know?
You're so much more than that.
I think I know one Shlomo Carlbach song, but I'm not the Kunzes guy. I don't know. I'm a guy with the guitar.
I hear you. Okay. So not the guy to not the Kumsitz guy.
Yeah,
but
in my head, you're relating a lot of Kumsitz. Yeah. Okay. So you lived in Atlanta and Philadelphia. What brought you to the Big Apple, to the Upper West Side?
I always wanted to live in New York. And I always knew I'd go to college there because I feel everyone.
Of course.
Yeah, why not? New York is the place to be. But it sort of was, it's the epicenter of everything, of possibility. And I came to New York to do just that, to see what was possible, what avenues were open, I literally think the first week I got to New York, I spent every night out in the East Village doing open mics and music gigs because...
Really? Sorry. You played the guitar and sang in front of people?
Yeah. That's the...
I love it.
Like, That was my college life. I would like skip all my Judaic classes and go play music with like Bowery bums in like the East Village.
That's great.
Yeah.
Were you paid for those gigs or was it for fun? Or like, could you get paid? Like, how does that work?
It very much is a, you do not rely on the money.
The money. No, I.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all about the money, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you played music
mm-hmm.
in front of tons of people. Were you nervous? Like how, like, tell us how you can just go up on stage, play music and tell jokes. Like, how do you, what is like your mindset before you go on? Like, how did you really get yourself to do that? Because it's really intimidating. It's scary. I spoke in front of people yesterday, Devar Torah at Shul, and I was like so nervous. How do you do that with a lot more people?
I mean, I think it starts small. I think you create something, whether it's a song or a joke, and a roommate hears it in passing and says that's really good. And that sort of is the first positive feedback loop that inspires you to keep writing or keep trying. And ultimately, the crowd gets bigger, or you push yourself if you have the willpower to go onto a stage mm-hmm. and try it for real.
So you test all your jokes out prior with your, you think, roommates or friends?
Yeah, I definitely test out my material amongst my friends. Yeah, it's because jokes are a weird thing. Okay. It's scary, like to just go on stage and do it raw, right from the paper.
Mm-hmm. Do you genuinely think it's gotten less scary over time?
Oh yeah, yeah. But the pain of a bad set that never changes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so tell us a joke. Like, can you like tell us one that hasn't been heard yet that you want to work on, and we can see if it's funny.
All right.
Well, we're putting you on the spot.
No. I'm just like choosing or like how to say certain jokes. Like, it's different on stage than on Zoom or at a Shabbos table. I'm thinking how to put a joke in a Zoom call. I'll give you two that I'm working on right
Yay.
Now.
Yay! Right?
To combat my anxiety, my therapist told me to take a month off from reading the news or watching the news. Isn't that crazy? Like, America's facing its largest mental health crisis in its history. You know what the solution is? Ignorance. It's like, throw out your Zoloft. All you really need is a big bucket of sand to stuff your head under. It's like screw global warming. Let's go fracking for mental health.
Oh my God. That's great.
Yeah, I'm feeling called out a little bit by that joke.
Oh yeah?
No, I mean, yeah, it's like for everyone. It's like, you know, me just like shutting everything off, like turning off my phone on Shabbat, you know, and being like, I don't care about anything anymore because ignorance is bliss.
It's very blissful. And honestly, that's a good direction of like where the joke can go further is like that. Oh, or you never hear the positives, the mental health positives of being racist. It's like, it's just pure bliss or something like that, like where you twist like something evil to show like a weird positive of it on stage. That's very funny. And that brings out laughter from people.
Is that where you like, is that where you start finding inspiration for your material? Where does it come from?
Sometimes it's something that you hear that's like, if you think about that, that doesn't actually make sense. Or how you poke a topic from different angles and try to flip it on its head and figure out why is this funny?
The fracking part was funny. I like that part. I thought that was cute. So I get how you did that.
Yeah.
Does being Jewish come up a lot in your jokes?
Uh-huh. That's usually how I introduce myself.
Let's do it. Can you do the whole thing? I want to
my whole set?
Not a whole set. Explain how you introduce yourself and then go through like a Jewish joke. And then, and we'll see if you like it.
So I like to take like a crowd, like I like to take them by surprise, sort of just introduce a topic that's uncomfortable or silly. So my usual go-to, if I just get up on stage, is say like, my nephew's getting the tip of his penis cut off tomorrow.
I love that one. Yeah.
He's getting circumcised. Not sure how I feel about it, in part because I'm the videographer.
Like, all right,
I've only been to one basketball game in my life. Tomorrow I'm seeing tip off in 4K.
That was good. Tip off in 4K. I love it. That was smart. Yeah. You really made that one yourself?
I mean, everyone's made like a tip off joke, I feel like, about brisses, but I feel like in New York crowds, I'm not sure people might not have heard that before. But then I take it further. I talk about my kippah. I say like, I'm wearing the Jewish headgear. In Georgia, where I'm from, people call it different things. Some call it a yarmulke. Others call it a bullseye.
God.
Yeah, I know. This is good.
I say like historically, the kippah was a sign of like holiness. Now it's like a sign of a bad tipper. That's the stereotype, right? Like, of the stereotypes that be had, I feel like it's one of the better ones. Like you see a rabbi, it's like, oh, okay, he's a bad tipper. If you see a priest, it's like, ugh, he's probably touched some tippers. I'm not sure that'll go in the podcast, but.
No, you can. A lot of tip jokes.
Yeah, that's just how I money go into it.
Have you ever accidentally offended someone, you feel like, in
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Okay, so how did that happen and what did you do? What did you say?
Yeah, this was my my first fear of cancellation moment. And it was for a joke that I didn't even think was offensive or anything, but multiple people came up to me afterward and said like, "Do you really feel that way about that?" And this was the joke essentially. I say, I don't need a girl with an hourglass shape. I say, I want a girl with an hourglass personality. Like, damn girl, your punctuality has got me aroused. Keep showing up on time and I will need to flip you over.
I don't get why that's offensive.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Wait, what?
Like, I get it. I just don't know why people were offended by it.
It's like a cute joke. It's not even like, it's like, that's cute. It's not a ha-ha joke even. Uh-huh. But
people are going to be offended by anything. And I think it's ridiculous in comedy when people get offended, especially like just don't come. Like if you're easily offended, I don't know.
Yeah. Like comedy is where people test out the boundaries of thought and almost challenge silly things that we might take too seriously in our everyday life.
For sure. Yeah.
Would you ever see yourself doing it full time?
I don't know if I see myself doing anything ever full time.
Okay. That's valid.
You know?
Is it like a side hobby or do you want to like say if you were like got really like big, you know what I mean? Like, could you see yourself doing that as a career?
Oh, it would be amazing. But also comedy is a nighttime endeavor, which is amazing because you could do what you want during the day. And then a couple nights a week do stand up in your free time. That's what's like amazing about like music and comedy is that it does almost complement the work week the career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your favorite place to perform in the city?
I love West Side Comedy Club. It's like in the Upper West Side. It's I think on 75th Street. It's a really good room. They get good shows. But I also like the Comic Strip Live.
Where's the biggest venue you've ever performed and how many people were there?
Oh, Oh man, I've done Caroline's on Broadway,
oh, which wow.
is a very, very impressive venue. I was opening up for a female comic, Rachel Feinstein. She's a friend of mine, and
oh my god, that's such a big gig.
Yeah, that was a fun time. It was
wow. Do you feel like you got a lot of Instagram followers after that? Do you feel like
yeah? It was good exposure for sure. Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
There's also like a really famous club out in Long Island called Governors that I have done. And that's, yeah, those are the two big places that I've performed.
And how do you get like into them? Like, I could just be like, hey, I'm super funny. I think I'm super funny. Can I come and try it out? Would they be like, yeah? Or do they have to see videos before? Like, what do I need to do?
Well, this is the lesson I'm sort of learning through the comedy field itself, is that if you go into a new field or creative avenue, always come in with a leverageable skill. So I got into comedy by doing film for comedians who were more famous than me. And I would film their sets. And I ultimately ended up filming a full stand-up comedy special for one of my like comedy idols. And offering up a free service in a field where you see yourself pursuing in the future is the way to go, because then those people who are already years ahead of you are going to remember you and help you out later.
That's like the Rachel Feinstein thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
That's super strategic of you. Like, that's something that my parents are always saying, like, you never know who can help you out in the future. And like, you actually made it happen.
Yeah. It's also like Monday morning quarterbacking. Like, I wasn't thinking of doing full time, like stand up comedy in a real capacity when I started doing film for stand up comics. Yeah.
Oh, it kind of just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So we've talked about where you've gotten till now. The question is, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Next 5 years? I would love to be working for either a writing agency, for a marketing agency, or in comedy writing.
Like honestly. For a show or something?
Yeah. But honestly, when I write, I have a natural tone that my brain goes to, which I really think is like my soul. Like it always goes to like true or like more serious things, where in comedy you almost have to pull out the funny. It's not my natural state.
Okay.
So when I say like I'd love to do anything meaningful in the creative space, whether it's songwriting or writing for comedy shows, or writing for musicians. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to go into a Jewish lens a little bit. Have you ever had anything that's been on Shabbos, but you've had to say no, like any events, any gigs, or anything that you needed to be at, but you had to say no because of Shabbos? And how did
that go? Oh, all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah, that happens a lot. And that's probably the number one deterrent of future success in this field of comedy.
Yeah.
Is Friday night's the most popular night? And
you can't do it. Have you ever done it?
I can't.
Right? Have you ever liked? You used to live Lower East, right? Lower East Side. Mm-hmm. So would you ever walk there in Shabbos and like do a gig, a comedy gig?
I'd hang out, and then Shabbos would end, and then do a spot.
Okay, cool.
After. So we've talked a lot about your comedy. I want to get a little bit into the songwriting. We stalked your Instagram a little bit, and
yes, we did.
Your Instagram bio, it takes us to the song called "Loving You," and we need to know, why did you highlight that specific song? Is there a specific person you wrote it for?
No, that's the my style of songwriting is. I have my personal songs and I have my commercial songs, I guess. Like I like writing in a
romantic way?
Yeah, in a romantic way, but it's usually like about myself in a twisted way of like, oh, what, how would I love to view love, or how would I want to be romantic? What would the most romantic Chewy be? And then write in that voice, essentially.
That's so cute. Yeah. That wasn't for anyone. You literally just wrote it for someone in the future.
I mean, songs are weird. They can be inspired by the smallest things. Like, I'll hear a name and think, oh my gosh, that has the right amount of syllables for a good chorus. Like, and then I'll
think. Can you say a song about me? Can you do it really quick?
About Jory? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I need to.
You're really putting him on the spot. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's what comedians do. They put on the spot. They can speak, like, right? About random things.
Sometimes. Usually. Yeah, sometimes. No, I'll give an example. Like, I was walking to, like, a Shabbos meal 2 Friday nights ago, and I just decided to go down Riverside Drive. And I thought, oh, my gosh, Riverside Drive would be, like, a great title of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, oh, no one's wrote about walking, holding hands on Riverside Drive on a Saturday morning in a morning walk. And then, like, I honestly, like, that's how songs go. I'll remember, I'll start thinking of a melody while on a walk, and it'll be gone by the end of the Shabbos meal. Mm-hmm. And that's just the nature of remembering melody, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you have to really try, or it's always good to have a recording app.
Do you have a recording app?
I do. Yeah, always.
But you can't use it on Shabbat. That's the thing.
Can't use it on Shabbat.
I feel like that's when you probably think a lot. That's the time mm-hmm. you think. That's tough.
Yeah.
Boy. All right. So you have the song Loving You. You have a few other songs.
Yeah.
So are they all romantic? I didn't take a look.
No. Yeah, no. Loving You is the only one that's out, I think, that is in that tone. I have a lot of lovey-dovey songs. I have a lot of, like, personal sad songs where I dive into the inner conflicts, into the self, into the struggle of being human, or into loss and aging. I write a lot about, like, my dad and just in a sense of, oh, I'm watching this, my father get old. And it's a, if there's pain there, it's so easy to write about. Like, it's the best place to write because there's just so much to think about, in those spaces.
How many songs do you feel like you've written that aren't on Spotify or just in general?
I mean, in college, I had a regimen where I would write a chorus a day, whether I'd finish that song or not. It didn't always happen, but I would always write a chorus, like something catchy or something slow, just as practice. Yeah.
Throughout all of college?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Yeah. You're committed. Do you think it's easier to write about things that you've experienced yourself, or let's say like Riverside Drive, you've never been holding hands with someone there, but like, is it easier to work from your imagination or something you've experienced?
It varies, honestly. So here's a good example. I have this song called Manhattan, and it's just about falling in love in Manhattan. I love New York, and I love writing. I also have a song F Train about like just going down to Coney Island with a girl, and it's called taking the F Train down. But like the song Manhattan, I listened to this song by Lauv called Paris in the Rain. And then
that song.
It's a vibe. It has an energy to it. It's beautiful. And then he made this YouTube video basically breaking down how he wrote that song. And he said, oh, okay, I use these drum patterns and then I use these chords. But ultimately, I was just watching this Woody Allen movie, Paris in the Rain. And I was like, okay. Or Midnight in Paris. And he's like, oh, how do I like emulate this movie in a song? And then right after watching that video, I was like, okay, I'm going to take another Woody Allen movie that I love and do the same thing. So I chose Manhattan and wrote a song. Can I grab my guitar?
Yeah.
I'll go for it.
Yeah.
Yay. Gotta love a man with a guitar.
Yeah, I'm so hyped for this. What's it called?
The song is called Manhattan.
Just Manhattan, okay.
Yeah. Like, do you want the whole song or just the chorus?
The chorus.
Yeah? I mean, the chorus is fairly simple.
Okay, your favorite part of the song.
All right, so I'll just do like, I say like, falling in love with you has got me feeling like Sinatra in 62. We've got the whole night. I'm loving the way your smile shines in the moonlight. Baby, put your hand in mine. Let's take our time in Manhattan, Manhattan. I can feel it happening, Manhattan, Manhattan. I wanna fall in love in Manhattan, Manhattan. I can feel it happening, Manhattan, Manhattan. I just wanna fall in love. Ooh, oh, 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 oh. I just wanna fall in love. Yeah.
Woo! Oh my gosh. You are a Shawn Mendes in the making. I am like, I love this. That's so good. It's amazing. It's really good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm really like, wow, I'm impressed. You. We should do more. I want to come. I need to come to your shows. I can't come Wednesdays, but I can come any other day of the week.
Okay. Okay.
So
I have a good show coming up on a Tuesday. So I'll let you know about that.
Yeah. Let us know. We'll also share with our listeners, obviously.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm so sad I can't pull up, but next time I'm in New York, I'm definitely coming.
Please do. Yeah. Or if I'm ever in Israel, I'll find a show.
Yeah? Yeah. Have you performed in Israel too?
In Yeshiva, I think I might have done one.
So ages ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. But seriously, amazing.
Really good.
You need to put yourself out there more because...
Should you? Yeah, that's a great song.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not out anywhere, honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
So special. Naturally, you're our coach boy of the week. And we've never had a coach boy that did a mini performance on the podcast. So this is very exciting.
Definitely our favorite.
Wow.
For sure.
So yeah, tell us things about yourself that you feel like you haven't mentioned and what you're looking for in a girl.
I love exploring new areas in New York. I love going to a new city and walking around with my iPod Nano and a series of lectures about something interesting and just discovering a city and learning something new. That's like one of my favorite things I do as like a shui fear, the human being.
Okay.
I love a warm hot chocolate on a winter Sunday morning.
Okay. And how about a girl? What are you looking for in a girl?
Yeah.
When you're looking for
What am I looking for? Mm-hmm. I think probably everyone says this, but someone who's passionate, like passionate about, not in terms of even like the relationship itself, but passionate in their vocation, in their will to live and live fully. If they're chasing after themselves as much as they're chasing after finding a partner, that is probably the most attractive thing in the world. Because, yeah, if I don't know, I feel like I've met a lot of half interesting girls in my journey on this single journey of mine. Yeah. Looking for someone who loves themselves enough to invest their time to know what's worth it. Yeah.
That's great.
Ladies, you heard it here first. He's looking for passion, and he'll write you a song, right?
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. Well, where can our listeners find you on social media?
You can find me at Shuifier, S-H-U-I-F-I-E-R. I have some stuff on YouTube, maybe the occasional song. But if you guys want to listen to any of my music, it's also on iTunes and Spotify. Yeah, that's
amazing.
That's where I'm at.
Thank you. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you guys.
We really appreciate it. It's been so much fun learning about you.
Super fun. Yeah.
Well, you guys heard it here at Shuifier on YouTube, on Instagram, and have a great rest of your week. Thanks, guys.
Bye, guys.